AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Officials are warning residents in flood-prone areas of Jamaica to be ready to evacuate as Hurricane Beryl closes in. National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan.
We've seen the central pressure rise a little bit on the latest data from the Hurricane Hunter aircraft. We've seen the peak winds come down just a tad. But regardless of what happens to the peak winds, we're expecting a powerful hurricane to be moving west-northwestward across the Caribbean Sea.
At least six deaths are blamed on the storm. President Biden will sit down with ABC News Friday in his first live interview since last week's presidential debate. The judge overseeing Donald Trump's criminal hush money case has postponed sentencing until September 18th. The former president's attorneys have filed a motion to toss the case based on the Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity. New vehicle sales rose just a tenth of a percent in the second quarter, despite discounts and lower prices. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The teenager charged with beating an employee to death at Lincoln Hills Boys Prison was supposed to be in a different facility, but Republican state lawmakers withheld funding that would have paid for the transfer. Governor Evers' office tells the Journal Sentinel Republicans have been thwarting youth prison reforms in Wisconsin for years. The Republican National Convention starts in less than 2 weeks. Milwaukee is busy getting ready for 15,000 delegates and other guests. Allison Prangy leads the host committee. She spoke with WISN-TV's Up Front.
We want to wow them. I think a lot of people coming to this convention have never been to Wisconsin, maybe the Midwest. They don't really know that much about our state.
But not everybody's busy. The Pabst Theater Group tells the Recombobulation Area website that most of its venues have no events booked for the RNC. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A woman was attacked with a pruning saw downtown last night at 845 on State Street. Witnesses called 911 when they saw a woman bleeding heavily. First responders got her to the hospital where she was stabilized. Madison police say they then found the suspect. Her name is Alicia Padilla. Authorities believe the two of them were in the middle of a fight, and that's what prompted Padilla to attack the victim. And you'll want to keep the umbrella handy yet again. Now, there will be rain on and off throughout the day, but the best chance for strong storms is tonight, starting at about 6. Some areas may get almost 3 inches of rain. And of course, the ground is still so wet, all this water needs somewhere to go. So flooding will likely be an issue again. Things should be clearer tomorrow, but we have some isolated storms that could pop up on the 4th. So event organizers will be keeping a close eye on the forecast, although right now things look okay for all the fireworks. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
The Brewers bow to the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Colorado Rockies have the worst record in the National League, but last night they beat the Brewers 8-7 in 10 innings. Things got weird in the fifth. Game tied 3-3. Joey Ortiz lays down a bunt and is safe at first, but called out for running outside the base path on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Bunt attempt by Ortiz. Tough play. Gomber missed him. They're going to say that Joey Ortiz is out of the running lane, and he's going to be out. And now Pat Murphy is going to come and argue this play.
Pat Murphy on getting ejected, even though the replay showed it was a bad call at first.
The first base umpire said that he went more than 3 feet away from the player. In my judgment, I felt like he didn't go more than 3 feet away. If there's any uncertainty, go ahead and ask the home plate umpire. He took offense to that.
After a tough loss to the Rockies, what's next? Joey Ortiz.
Go win some ball games. There's not much to it.
That's Brewers third baseman Joey Ortiz. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flood watches continue through tonight. Scattered storms this evening, then clearing overnight, and lows in the mid-60s. Sunny and less humid for tomorrow. Nice day with a high in the mid-80s. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms for the 4th of July. Highs low 80s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley, congressional candidate for the 8th District here in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons at 2.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is Tuesday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Oh, talking education, Johnny, it is the week of the 4th, Patriot
Absolutely.
Week. Yeah, it's the week of Patriots. We laid out, you know, really, if you're a defender of public education or a defender of the institution, want to go right into that, Johnny, this is the week to really do it, you know?
Absolutely. We said, what better week? I mean, actually, every week of the year in a country like ours, you ought to be modeling patriotism. Not sometimes the way people like to say, hey, I'm a patriot, but really deep down. And one of the ways we talked about you could do it is be a defender of institutions. Mm. Take your pick, whether it's children's rights, health care, you know, economy, whatever these things are, the law. We say, Tim, you and I always come back to we're defenders of public education.
Yeah, we are.
That's where we're gonna go hard all the time.
Well, when you talk about that too, it's just like, yeah, what does it mean to patriotism? You made me think about going, you know, so other ways of some people imagining that they're showing patriotism. It made me think so, like these colors won't run that I have tattooed on the back of my butt. That's really not a patriotic symbol or something. Is that what you're getting at, Johnny Lupinacci?
Well, no, man. I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the colors of the country. I mean, I'm excited for the Summer Olympics coming up. You know, I love red, white, and blue. You know, I got out. It's summer. It's beautiful. One of the perks of summer, having a little break from teaching, getting out on the golf course today, you know, being able to hang out with some other teachers, shoot a couple of rounds of golf. And I'll tell you what, I had red, white, and blue on. I mean, it's 4th of July week.
Awesome. But I got to tell you, you sent me a note, though. Speaking of that golf, did you make that birdie?
I didn't, Tim. I two-putted it. It ended up being a par. I didn't birdie today, you know.
Well, you weren't.
I had a lot of pars. I had a string of pearls on my card, which is nice to have those zeros straight across. And, you know, I didn't get a birdie today. We'll see. It might happen again this week.
You didn't have the two golf pros that, you know, got in the debate there, the president and the wannabe president again. Maybe if you'd have taken them out there with you, Johnny, you'd have made that birdie. You know what, though, too? Speaking of making that birdie, golfing, having a great time, summer, where do you go?
I was going to say, Tim, I didn't have my birdie juice. And, you know, if you need some birdie juice for your golf game, you can always head over to Minocqua Brewing Company. Tim, why is Minocqua Brewing Company so awesome to us?
Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, and they sued the state of Wisconsin to end that awful voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And I was thinking about this too. When you're there at the Minocqua Brewery, you know, whether you're up in Minocqua or at the Madison Tap Room, download the Civic Media app while you're there too, because that way you can always be connected most importantly to Busted Pencils, but all the other Civic Media things that are out there. Download that Civic Media app, because you do not want to find yourself out there going, I wish I could hear my Civic Media stuff, but I'm out of range of the radio signal. Not when you have the Civic Media app. You are always connected to all of the great programming going on. It's Civic Media. Johnny, again, back to yesterday, though. I mean, callers. The Minneapolis callers that were out there, give us a call back again tonight, man. See what happened. You know, there were a couple people. Sandy, I think, was one from Minneapolis, and I forget who else. 855-752-4842. Call us, because guess what we're doing today again? Oh, my goodness. States' rights, religion, all of these things, Christian nationalism, immunity, it's all going on. It's all related to public education. Johnny, before we go back into the Christian nationalist move, though, we thought, you know, a couple words. So the ex-president, the last, whatever you want to say, Trump, the TFG, that guy, the Supreme Court said, the Supreme Court didn't say that guy is immune, but the Supreme Court said, go back, because we're not willing to say that he's not immune. I think that's the way I'm interpreting the Supreme Court's decision. We didn't say he's not immune. We sent it back to the lower court to make that decision, and then we'll make a decision as to whether they made the right decision. How do you explain this to a group of school students? Luckily, this isn't happening, but a president, the hypothetical now is that a president can say, the reason I committed that crime is because it was in the line of duty of my job. And at that moment, I thought I was executing my duties. And I'm sorry, it was against the law to take that person out and to order SEAL Team 6 to take out my opponents. But at that time, I thought, this feels like it's my job. So therefore, I did it. And thank goodness, because I needed immunity for that, because now that I look at that, I'm like, whoa, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But thank goodness I had immunity. That's my understanding of the mess we're in, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, Tim, I'm going to be honest. I struggle to understand this one. I don't get how this makes a whole lot of sense, other than a, you know, big incentive to become the president for someone like Trump, who's got, you know, a lot on the line. I mean, you know, that kind of immunity would help him, you know, I'd say, to put mildly, to put maybe overly politely, you know, it kind of gets him off the hook for, you know, having done bad. There's no reconciliation. There's no facing the truth. There's just, well, exactly what he told us a few years ago. I can do whatever I want. Right. I could shoot somebody and I would be fine. Yep. And now that's kind of a reality. I'm not saying like that he's done that per se, but you know, like, I just don't see this as applicable to that scenario. I mean, but on the flip side, I think it's important to maintain that the president probably should be able to, you know, make important decisions as president of the United States. So I don't know. I mean, it's just like, what are the boundaries on this? And again, how are we at this low moment where we've pushed those boundaries so far outside of like the scope and practice of being a president?
Yeah, I think about this back to social studies lessons, and it puts me back in my fifth grade classroom again, talking, you know, about the government, American history, the founding of this country. And one of the main topics that would always come across in my fifth grade classroom was, you know, positioning the founding of this country as an anti-monarchy, this whole idea of not having a king, not having anybody in any place of power that has the ability, though, to, quote, you know, kind of use that monarch's edict of, hey, I was in charge, I can do what I want. And thinking about now how this positions me, if I was going back to that fifth grade classroom next year to teach that unit on the founding of America and the fact that we are not a monarchy. Well, I could see students right now saying, well, but, you know, TFG, hopefully they wouldn't say TFG, but TFG, he seems like he's a monarch at this point. I, you know, Johnny, what do you think?
I think, man, Tim, when we come back from the break, I want to understand what TFG means, because I've looked it up and I get who we're referring to. He who shall remain nameless. But the three initials for any listener who's like Johnny here is like, wait, TFG. That's kind of like when Tim, that's kind of close to Tim's acronym for Fridays. I don't know. It's like.
No, there's way more letters than that.
Where's it come from? I mean, I had to look it up, and then I looked it up and I was like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait a minute, is this for real? So I'm going to have you, you know, settle that for me, figure out what it is and where's it coming from.
All right, we'll do that for sure. Hey, I'd say callers, though, and, you know, be careful. I will say, if you call in with the answer, we're going to have to be careful. 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils. Immunity, Johnny Lupinacci. And, you know, just again, remind people, though, too, of On Tyranny, or as Johnny was saying,
right,
On Tyranny. Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century, Timothy Snyder. We had just hit on that a little bit too last night. And Johnny, if you can remind everybody about what was going on with the On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You want me to do that right now? Like on the fly, put me
on
the spot.
Oh, yeah, I was
20 lessons. Well, I think it's extremely important. We were talking about coming off the heels, the back end of the debates, and, you know, the onslaught of really depressing news coming from, especially for Democrats. And then there's been a little revival and a little energy and a little sort of clap back after the weekend. But, you know, it's always tough to come off. I wouldn't even say a loss, just a disappointing performance or, you know, run through. And I was thinking a lot about how can we make sense of this moment and what can guide us through this and help us.
Yeah. Busted Pencils. First of all, Johnny Lupinacci, we'll get back to you right there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It's Tim and Johnny. We are here Tuesday night. Johnny's in the car doing that thing, you know, like if anybody watched last night, it got a little bit of a lag there. Give us a call, though, 855-752-4842. Immunity decision, the debate that happened, the mess. And, you know, as we're coming into the break here, you know, what else is coming? Well, Christian nationalism, how does it play in our classrooms? Boy, it is exploding, though, when you look at what's happening in Louisiana, when you look at what's happening in Texas, when you look at what is happening in Oklahoma. Man, so much going on. We started making sense of this last night from the standpoint of going, well, public education is a state issue, and these edicts are coming out of the state governments. Does that then make them constitutional and therefore allow us to move even closer and closer to some form of a Christian state within our public schools? That's the question we're trying to answer here. Is it constitutional to mandate Christian nationalism? 855-752-4842. Got an answer. Give us a call. And hey, TFG, when we come back for Johnny.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, One, two, three.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
I always wanted to be able to do that with a turntable, do that like that, Jess, you know? Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842 is the number. There's our Johnny Lupinacci, man. He's back. We got him back in the saddle. Anybody watching the Facebook, the Twitter, or the X, whatever you want to call it, the YouTube? Yes, Johnny. You're like, where's Johnny? He's in his car. That's where he was last Tuesday. And he looks awesome right there. You know, he's got the microphone. He's got the headphones. He's just jamming away. Johnny Lupinacci got a little overheated there, I hear, huh?
Yeah, man. You know what? I got the air conditioning on. You know, I parked the car because, you know, it's summer. Got to take my daughter to the dance studio on Tuesday afternoons. So I'm outside. The dance studio, usually great connect. Of course, I have all my T's crossed, but I forgot the dot and I. Mm. And it's sunny out today, and I set down the phone next to me on the passenger seat. It's direct sunlight. All of a sudden, I'm cut off, and I'm like, what's going on? Oh, my internet's out. How's my internet out? I look over at the phone. There's that temperature logo on there. It says, your phone needs to cool down before you can reconnect. I'm like, of course. So my bad. Back here, you had just, you know, it couldn't have been timed better because you had just thrown me a curveball around like a recap on Timothy Snyder's, you know, 20 important points, lessons from the 20th century that really help us. And I was saying it helps us respond to and guide us through this really important moment we're in, where we're really facing an erosion of democracy, but more so than an erosion of democracy, it's not like it slipped through our fingers or that people aren't really excited to be in a democracy. It's being, you know, it's being taken. It's being taken over. It's being taken over by authoritarian fascist efforts to really undermine democracy. Remember, the definition I give for democracy all the time is decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decision. And L.A. Tom, one of our listener and callers, he regularly calls and he says, we the people are the government, right? That concept of popular sovereignty, so important, right? What I was saying here is those 20 lessons from Timothy Snyder, I was riffing from them yesterday. I'm going to bring them up all the time, especially this week, because they're really poignant and I think they're helpful. They sort of say, you know that sign you see in England all the time, Tim, when you go over to London and you're riding a public transportation, it says, you know, be calm and carry on. Be calm and carry on. You know what? Timothy Snyder's 20 points are the response of, hey, never too high, never too low. Defenders of democracy, patriots of this great country. Let's stand by it. Let's fight for it. And let's not be over responsive to that takeover. Let's be really, really clear that we are not going to have it. And that means both requiring both Democrats and Republicans do better by this country, right? That's we the people demand that, right? So I like those 20 points. I know we shared them in the podcast. So listener, if you're like, what are these 20 points that Johnny's talking about? You know, 20 lessons from the 20th century by Timothy Snyder, nice. Right? And he breaks it down. And there's a nice link to, producer Jess got you hooked up, listener, to a really good condensed version of those 20 things, or you can run out to any of your bookstores and grab it. It's everywhere. Believe it or not, it's not banned, but it's a, you not know, yet. It should be. Sure, it should be. I bet you I bet you it's banned to teach if history teachers wanted to teach that. What an important text, because it's what Timothy Snyder does is he shares examples from the 20th and 21st century that are about, you know, how authoritarian fascist governments come to power, you know, and it's called I think I must be saying this wrong, Tim, because you say it's pronounced differently than I pronounce it, but on tyranny.
There right? you go. Hey, whatever, right? We know it. Tyranny, it's all of those things. It's a tyrant. You go after the tyrant, but tyrants practice tyranny.
There, I guess. See? I think you say it differently, man. I say tyranny, tyrant, tire, tie, all
I don't
those
know.
Things. Tie-dye,
you know what? I'm sure it's a dialect thing.
I say we have a breaker right there, tiebreaker. Jess, is it tyranny or tyranny? Uh-oh. Putting her on the spot.
It's a tyrant practices tyranny.
Uh-oh.
I mean, all right.
Well, you know, right. It could be a thing. Hey, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. All right, so the Timothy Snyder. So, Johnny, though, coming back to Christian nationalism, we were framing this as, well, you know, it's just the states exercising their state authority, the constitutional authority they have over public education, to do what they will with their public education in their state. And is this, though, then we kind of framed it yesterday from a simple, is this legal then to impose Christian nationalism on public education through the state constitution? Does that then make the mandating of a certain religion work in the way that it is, you know, does it start to indoctrinate? Is it a problem? Or are they trying to use democracy here to actually then infringe on and stifle democracy?
I mean, it's not really using, it's, you know, it's part of democracy. I tell you this all the time, Tim. I like when these conversations come up, like, hey, you know, I got an idea. As a member in a democracy, everyone has a voice and every voice is valued. Everyone has a responsibility to participating in the decision-making process. That's the second key ingredient or say condition of, you know, recognizing decision-making as democratic. The third is it's in the interest of the common good. So a lot of times we hit one and two and mm-hmm. the third sort of regulates us a bit. And I know that's the term that free market liberals and liberals in general don't like is regulation, but you know, regulation is actually the balancing fact. And it's this idea of that, yeah, you have a right to say, hey, I think that all schools should teach, you know, lessons from the Bible. It's like, well, that we're going to listen to that, but hold on, because, you know, we get to that third part, the interest of the common good. And we actually live in a democracy and we've really committed to that. It means valuing diversity, and that one belief system, right, is not going to work. In fact, we actually have also instituted in this country as part of a democracy, a separation of church and state. That doesn't mean, and I get into this a little bit more gray area than I think you do, Tim, because I actually don't think it's possible to actually separate church and state, but I get that why we have it on the books is that because we don't want a nation run by any particular religion.
We don't want, right? A theocracy.
Right. I get that. But I, you know, I think a lot of times it gets interpreted or practiced as we want no religion in these spaces. And I don't think that's what any of us have talked about on here. You know, right. So I get into that idea where I say, like, hey, it's great. You would like, you're voicing, you're using your democratic right,
your liberty
to say, hey, I think it's really important that schools teach this. Great, we're listening. In general, though, we have that third principle of democracy that in the interest of the common good, and guess what? A single story has never turned out to be very good for anybody. In fact, diversity is a condition of difference, which everything exists. And it's also really important for us to get that diversity piece in there.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Many school districts across Wisconsin can expect more money from the state next year. 57% of districts will get increased aid, but 30% will get less. The Milwaukee School District is getting an $81 million cut. It's mostly because of past overpayments while the district failed to properly report financial data to the state. People who buy electric bicycles in Minnesota are getting rebates from the state. Lena Reynolds is with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. She says e-bikes are a good alternative to gas-powered vehicles for short trips around town.
In places that have done e-bike rebate programs like this before, I know Denver, their average participant replaced 22 miles of car trips a week. So that's a lot of gas that they're not burning.
The rebates are meant to make e-bikes more affordable for more people. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Such a tragic story in Juneau County where three adults and three kids died in a house fire. They were visiting Wisconsin from all over the Midwest, including in Green Bay. This was their every other year family reunion to spend time together. The Salvation Army has been helping surviving family members, but the community stepped up too, donating everything from clothes to toothbrushes to meals. There's now a GoFundMe set up as well. The sheriff's office believes the fire was an accident. And the Madison Public Market has its first hire. Keisha Harrison has been chosen by the Madison Public Market Foundation as the CEO. This is years in the making. The market will be on the east side on First Street. Most recently, Harrison led a historic market in Indianapolis. The market here is intended to be a hub of fresh produce, inclusive programs, and arts and crafts, somewhere everyone in Madison is welcome. Now Harrison can start building her team. The market is set to open at the end of next year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Kevin Costner says he is aware he only makes movies for men. Costner told the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast that making movies for men is what he does. Costner admitted that men love to watch him in cowboy hats, and he loves to be watched while wearing cowboy hats. Costner also said men are more dismissive of mediocre reviews as long as the men they are watching are wearing cowboy hats. I took liberties with a lot of that, except the part of him acknowledging he likes to make movies for men. Here's a Pete pick you might want to take advantage of for some midweek movie watching fun. Check out A Quiet Place Day One. The film has no huge stars, but is really well directed and paced. The scares and feels are first rate, and the best part? Watching it with a crowd where no one is making a peep because they feel like they are actually in the movie and will be attacked by aliens if they do. This is the third installment of the Quiet Place franchise and third film in a row that has reviewed very well. It doesn't disappoint. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flood watches continue through tonight. Scattered storms this evening, then clearing overnight, and lows in the mid-60s. Sunny and less humid for tomorrow. Nice day with a high in the mid-80s. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms for the 4th of July. Highs low 80s. Right now it's 70 degrees.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, tune in tomorrow. It's Pat Kreitlow's birthday. He'll be here to celebrate along with Trevi Olson of the Lincoln Project, and we'll take a look at signers of the Declaration of Independence. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
How many walls?
man. How many walls, how many guns, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. Yeah, the quick break there. Sorry about that, everybody. Got a little bit, you know, mixed up in the timing there, but all is well. Tim and Johnny are back. Jess has got the command center there working very, very, very perfectly.
Well,
Jess.
Tim. Tim, you know, I'm like a bull in a china shop. So I got going, you know, and I was rambling. And you know what happens? I rambled right into, you know, I rambled right into the break. So sorry about that, listener. We'll smooth it out for you. We owe you, but we'll get it back. But Tim, where we were going, man, was we were going into this thing. You were talking more about what's happening in these states where there's a rise in Christian nationalism. You know, there's a concerted effort to push that there ought to be one belief system in schools. And you know, we're both adamantly against this. I'm probably a little bit more gray area and saying like, yeah, there's a lot of belief systems. I would love it if kids learned world religions or, you know, came together. We heard on the Friday show, I went on a long rant that was about human rights, right? And children's rights and the right to belief systems and diverse belief systems in school. I think that's a beautiful thing. I'm not even against teachers or schools saying, hey, there's these things that Christians have, 10 commandments. They follow them. It's part of their belief system. There are other rules and laws and life lessons that help guide community of people around the world. Here's a few different ones. Let's learn. Let's have our own classroom, you know, constitutions and principles that we live by. So I really like those things as part of a diverse education. But boy, do I get really, really concerned when we start talking about forcibly having one way and positioning that as the one best way or the correct way or the right way for all children. I think that's a huge problem. And that's what's happening in some states in this country, Tim. So get us back to that, man. Boy, did I threw you a curveball, man. I stunned you. I threw you a stunner. I don't know. So Tim is frozen. Listener, we owe you because Tim, I threw him a stunner and it froze him up. And I think I'm still here with Jess live. But Tim, what we were talking about is we were going hard on, you know, these states and their concerted effort to push one best way. So Tim, I'm gonna throw it back to you and hopefully
Throw it back. You didn't stun me. I stunned myself on that one. Man, I guess tonight's just a little bit of a, you know, glitchy night. I hit my mute
number
button.
Number one stunner.
I hit my mute
Tim's
button.
The number one stunner.
But hey, so you know, very specifically though, the state mandate here on this Christian nationalism is what really is pushing me to go, whoa, wait a minute. Because if we remember in Oklahoma, you got the Department of Public Instruction superintendent saying Bibles everywhere. In Louisiana, 10 commandments. In Texas, is literally paying school districts $60 a kid if they adopt the Christian-oriented curriculum in place there. So you've got three different states, and they're using, Johnny, the state right of having education be, you know, the state's constitution. But see, to me, it's what they're doing, exactly what you're saying, though. It's a religion. It's a specific religion, Christian nationalism. And if you start looking at it, too, this isn't about teaching a diversity of religious beliefs, of which you and I have constantly said we are absolutely in favor of. In fact, religion is probably one of the most interesting topics that you can get into in schools, and more students and more families would benefit from having lots of religious pluralistic understandings and ways to make sense of this. But here we have the state using the state power to absolutely prioritize a religion, a Christian religion, a form of a Christian religion that really is starting to sound more and more, not even sound, it looks like Christian nationalism. And Johnny, that is a creep that is, when I say creep, creeping towards us, that is now no longer creeping. It's actually making its way pretty fast and forward to us and saying, hey, Christian nationalism, it's what we want. It's what we want in public schools. And in fact, just to put a little bit more, the story today went a little bit further. In Louisiana, the governor that pushed this said, hey, I did this so that they would sue me, because he wants to be sued by those people that are saying this is an infringement of the Establishment Clause that says you cannot have a state indoctrinating or mandating a religion. He says, hey, bring it on. Bring it on. I don't know, man. I don't think we should be bringing it.
You sent me a text today, though. You sent me a text today that was an article, and I want our listeners to know we're referencing a lot here. We're bringing in trending topics in education. Our producer, Jess, is hot on it. Those links, all the things Tim and I are mentioning, they're going to be in the podcast notes. So, you know, you loop back around later, give a re-listen, and grab those, or just grab the links, and you can get that. But Tim sent me a text today, and you know what?
Oh, there it is, Johnny. We got to wait on that text, though, because, man, when you hear that bell, you know what that is. It's our time. Democracy in action, trending news. We can hit it, Johnny. I saw today probably one of the most awesome examples of democracy in action. Guess what? There are Republicans in some states that have decided to go against the voucher push. Tennessee and Texas rural Republicans have thwarted the push to to mandate vouchers be a part of their state. And they've said, wait a minute, we can't do that. We are defending the institution of public education, and we are not voting in favor of vouchers. And they stopped vouchers in Tennessee. They stopped vouchers in Texas. And Johnny, this truly is democracy in action, because the consequences that these legislators are now facing, all of them are being primaried by strong right-wing DeVos billionaires that have said, hey, you voted for democracy. You voted for the people. You voted for the public schools. We're taking you out. Truly an example of democracy in action to me, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, I love it, Tim. I love it when anytime any elected official, remember, you're elected in theory, you're elected by the majority to represent the interests of whatever that group or location is, right? And so, you know, those people, whether it's party line or not, right, those folks who went against the grain of the party line right now. I think that always, Tim, is democracy in action. When you're representing, decisions ought to be made by those directly impacted by the decision. And those people in the Republican Party that said no. And Tim, when I was, you know, out sometime around the 12th hole today, I was reading that text you sent me that. I said, you know, good. This ought to be how it is, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of your party, when the decision comes across your table, you say to yourself, how does this impact, right? Who benefits and who suffers? Are the people, you know, in my under my jurisdiction or my, you know, region that I'm elected to represent, are they hurt by this? They mm-hmm. are. I can't support it. So, as much as I cringe, because, you know, I'm not too happy with the Democrats right now, but I'm rarely happy with, rarely am I aligned with Republicans. And man, I was like, you know what, this is good. And the image in my head, Tim, I got to share it. You know, I'm always like the Republicans, the elephants and the donkeys, the Democrats. I love the animal imagery of this. But I pictured, you know, an elephant going over, you know, I pictured, you know, the Louisiana guy saying, I do want this. I want you to challenge me. And the elephant went over and with its trunk pulled up a whole trunk full of water and just hosed that dude down. Just hosed him down. Says, not today.
Not in my
legislative area. No way, sir. Sit back down and walk away wet on this one.
Well, and that's what he said. You know, it is democracy. Defenders of democracy, Johnny Lupinacci, you put that out there, defending the institution of public education and doing their job, which is to represent their people, not the party. So it's busted pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. You can give us a call. L.A. Tom reminding us on the text, too. It's anti-Christian nationalism, L.A. Tom reminding us there. Yes, absolutely. But, Johnny, you know, so these Republicans in these rural districts then have provided a role model for me for other Republicans in other rural districts. And, you know, just to give a little quick lesson of going, like, why are the Republicans in rural areas putting up resistance to vouchers? Well, it's very simple. There aren't choice options in the rural districts. And people know that in the rural areas, the public schools are the centers of their communities, are the center of engagement. Everything rallies around that. And so to vote in favor of vouchers would be actually sending money that goes to supporting their local public schools out of their districts that actually harms their local public schools. People have listened to me, have heard me say this all the time. And in fact, it decimates, potentially takes out Friday night football, the prom, the marching band, all of those events that people have come and have gotten used to and, in fact, value in their community. That's because of their public schools. And so in those rural areas, voting in favor of public schools is voting in favor of your constituents. And, man, that's just what you're supposed to do when you're elected to office, is represent the people who elected you, not represent the party and the money that's trying to influence. And as you said, Johnny, do harm to your constituents. How is it possible? Well, and it said, though, it is coming with consequences, because it looks like every one of these Republican legislators are now going to be primaried with supporters that are actually then going to then gather around all of that big dark money, DeVos money coming in to put together candidates. So, but at least for now. So think about that. It's an example defending that institution of public education. That's what they're. But Johnny, question here though, too, in these districts where you are a public school value in a small rural district, we have seen in places like Wisconsin, a lot of the Wisconsin rural areas have voted in favor of vouchers. How do the people respond in those small rural districts who see the attack on public education? Is it to simply just say, do your civic duty and call your legislator? I mean, how do we help mobilize voters? Because to me, you're not a Republican, you're not a Democrat, you're a voter, you're a citizen, you're a community member. And they're thinking right now, hey, Friday night football in the fall, I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to lose it. How do we inspire them?
Well, Tim, I think it's simple. And as simple as it is, it's also a large task. And what we're asking, and we should be able to trust more media. But what we have to be able to do is we have to be able to find good information. We have to go out there. Individuals have to go out and say, what are my interests? It's the local economy. It's like you say, Friday night football. It's our public schools. It might be something else that's a state institution that's local economy. It might be, a government. It might be a military base in a rural town. That's mm-hmm. a big one I know in other states, and these things that are publicly funded, that it hurts the economy when they're defunded or they're privatized. Right. It drives wages down. It really hurts the working people. So it's getting good information. It's gathering that good information. And it's saying, what are my priorities? What are my institutions that I'm going to be a patriot and be a defender of? And if you're a defender of public education, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you got to find the facts. You know, Tim, I'm biased. We have those facts here mm-hmm. at Busted Pencils. You know, I'm lucky to be able to listen to civic media to get good information about the facts that concern my local community so that I can make an informed decision. And that's a really important one. Hey, Tim, we got one more segment. When we come back, callers, if you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils when we get back.
This
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
There you go. See me air drumming there. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842 if you want to join the educated educators talking education. Yeah, man, immunity, Christian nationalism, democracy in action, everything there coming out. L.A. Tom making sure to remind us that it's anti-Christian nationalism, to be more accurate, not very Christian in the Christian nationalism that is being pushed by these states. It's Oklahoma pushing Bibles, very much reminiscent of that time where Trump stood out in front of the church with the Bible. And he also is selling, if you saw his endorsed Bibles. So taking a look there. And Texas coming up with and going, hey, we're going to pay school districts. We're going to incentivize with cash the adoption of Christian curriculum. And of course, in Louisiana, the Ten Commandments, 11 by 17 inch poster will be up in every classroom right now. And yeah, the governor down there saying, bring it on. I want to be sued. And Johnny, the suit here, though, too, that to me, this really breaks down what we talk about here. People say there's no wording for the separation of church and state in the Constitution. There's no such thing. You're right. There is no language that says the church and the state are separated. There's the Establishment Clause and the interpretation, the precedent, the history of that clause is that no, but in practice, the First Amendment guarantees a separation of church and state because the religion, you cannot be, you know, again, you get to have the religion you want in this country. You have the liberty in America to practice a religion that might not be the popular religion at the time. That's okay because it doesn't matter. You're a citizen. You are not connected to, and you say, we are not a theocracy here. We don't have a state mandated religion. We say, you got your religion? Bring it. That's great. You got no religion? That's great too. You got somewhere in between? That's great too. Because as a diverse, pluralistic community, we value and cherish all of these religious beliefs. And if the state mandated any one of them, that would be, as you point out, Johnny, an attack on the diversity, the very diversity that is absolutely required for us to thrive. And so I just wanted to do a little bit more of an explanation there, John.
Well, yeah, Tim. And, I challenge any educator that is being forced to put an 11 by 17, 10 commandments in their classroom, to also put up a poster that's universal human rights, the Declaration of Universal Human Rights, specifically the Convention on the Rights of the Child. You can download free PDFs of those posters, online. There are a number of them. They're children's rights. If you just Google children's rights, in fact, we'll find one and we'll put it in our liner notes for you. But, I challenge you to put those up. I also have worked with teachers who said, hey, you know what? I actually think these are, you know, 10 pretty good things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call them the 10 commandments, but, you know, I want to have some inspiration in my classroom. And I always say, hey, check out these children's rights. There are a few more of them, but even if you picked 10 of those and you put them in there, they don't go against. And this is coming back to L.A. Tom's point about it being not quite Christianity. It's a certain kind of use of religion, and specifically Christianity, to assert and to really voice a particular way of organizing in our community that is white supremacist and patriarchal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying, like, it is really the usurping of a religion to assert a kind of way of power maintained to male-centered decision-making and power and to particular heteronormative. And you know what, Tim? This is what really excites me, is young people aren't having it.
No.
Young people in mass are, this is why we're having these kinds of, having to discuss this, is because people who are really threatened by the massive amount of young people in this country and in this world who are saying, we really think we could do better and that there is a different way we can all, like you said, coexist, you know, and share space. So I challenge you to put up, you know, children's rights instead. You know what, Tim, though? Here we go. You know, it's a banger of a Tuesday. Tomorrow we have Educators Amplified. I can't wait to hear what, you know, Teacher Jonah has to say, because she always drops so much wisdom. You know, we've talked about so much on here. Can't wait to hear from her. And Tim, you know what? If you're in Madison or if you're up north in Wisconsin listening, you can head over to Minocqua. You go to Minocqua Brewing Company, right? Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. And you were talking a lot about lawsuits. I mean, you know, Minocqua Brewing Company is sued. You know, they sued the state of Wisconsin to end its voucher system. You know, and why? Because voucher systems hurt public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check them out, Minocqua.com, to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
And there you saw, and people watching on the X, on the Twitter, on the Facebook, you saw my shirt there that I got from Minocqua Brewing Company. So if you're like me and you're not a beer drinker or a wine drinker, hey, they've got great merchandise too. Busted Pencils, it is fully leaded. It is, or we are, educated educators talking education on a Tuesday night. Yeah, moving into Wednesday, the fourth, 2 days away. Making sure everybody there, kind of ramping it up though. So if you're noticing a theme that we're doing here more and more throughout this week here is that, yeah, we are truly trying to say, you want to be a patriot, you want to celebrate liberty, you want to celebrate freedom, pick your institution, defend that institution. What we do here every night of the week on Busted Pencils, we are the defenders of that institution called public education, because we see it as the bedrock, not even see it, we know it is the bedrock of our democracy in this country. And so therefore defending that institution is something that is absolutely essential. And yeah, and guess what? We found out tonight, you can be a Republican and defend the institution of public education, and that will get you the award for Tim and Johnny's Democracy in Action Spotlight. Maybe we put that out there right now, going like, hey, I want to get Tim and Johnny's Busted Pencils Democracy in Action Spotlight. Hey, do what's right. Defend public institution, public education, that institution. Johnny Lupinacci, tomorrow night, Educators Amplified, Busted Pencils back. Teacher Joanna, see y'all tomorrow.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, live from Shortstack Eatery, we'll be talking with Terry Parisi about sustainable farming.
And we'll have another edition of Johnny at the Movies.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday morning, 6 until 8.
The John and Gordy Show.
People don't realize there used to be radio schools.
It was a night school. Uh-huh. And my very first day, I walk up the stairs and there in the lobby is my instructor. He's laying on the couch, his arm over his head, and he's going, oh my God, I wish I'd gotten into real estate. That was the encouragement I got right away.
Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.